Chapter 42. Government, Authority, and Laws. Section A. Government and Politics. Social order means society with government, since government is the agency that brings things to their end, and order is the relationship and orientation of things to their end. Now, the end of society is God, as we have seen in Chapter 37. And therefore the happiness of all the members of society is the consequence of attaining this end. See Chapter 36, Section D. The need for government in society arises from the division of labor. In order to coordinate all for the common good, someone is needed to lead, or else there will be interferences, encroachments, even involuntary, redundancies, and overlapping. See Chapter 40, Section C. Government is required as the conductor of an orchestra, without whom there would be no harmony, and there would be discord, even if one had the best musicians with the best instruments. The actual task of governing is the art of politics, see Chapter 40, Section A, or political activity. Those engaged in this public service constitute the government, and a society organized with government and laws is called the state. Human activity cannot, of course, be reduced to political activity, nor can the latter be reduced to economic activity, since man transcends both matter and society. Political activity is basically moral, not just a technique, or the machine of government or economic activity. The goal of government in civil society is the temporal common good, which is both spiritual and material. Temporal is not equivalent to material, just as spiritual is not equivalent to eternal. The spiritual is anything where man is involved, whether in this life, temporal, or in the next, eternal. It is with the latter that the church is concerned as its own proper domain. There is thus continuity between the temporal common good, state, and the eternal common good, church, although there is a distinction. This tends to be misunderstood by the expression separation of church and state. Strictly speaking, they should not be separated, since they have common areas of responsibility, namely, all that has to do with morality, or what leads men to their last end. However, they should indeed be distinguished, as 1. They have exclusive areas of their competence. Example, for the state, the system of government or the fiscal laws, for the church, the administration of the sacraments. And 2. Their respective authorities are different in nature, although both come from God. One is natural, state, and the other supernatural, church. In what is strictly temporal, the church can only give orientation as to the moral principles involved, not as to the final choice, since temporal realities are always changing and multiple, and therefore optional. And in what is strictly supernatural, the state has no competence, although it should both 1. Protect and facilitate public morals as related to the eternal, and 2. Favor and facilitate the worship of God in accordance with the common good. Other aspects of the activity of the state can be mentioned as follows. 1. Politics is for the sake of the good, i.e. the total good of man. Therefore, economic development cannot be the goal of politics, but only a means. Material values are always for the sake of spiritual values. See Chapter 25, Section E. 2. The end of society is God, the social common good. See Chapter 40, Section C. In order to promote this, the state has to uphold justice through the laws by passing them, applying them, and enforcing them. 3. The state has to correct what is out of order in society and to coordinate activities, since it has the overall view of society and the power to rule. 4. The state has supplementary functions, like monopolizing public utility, which is very necessary and which the private sector is not in a position to handle, and a subsidiary function, which consists in helping the parts of society but without supplanting them, like in the field of education, for instance. See Chapter 38, Section B, and Chapter 40, Section C. Lastly, there are many different systems of government, depending on the changing cultural and historical circumstances. The standard of their goodness is the unchanging and universal natural law. See Chapter 38, Sections A and B. They are good to the extent that they lead men to their last end and recognize the dignity of the human person. Section B, Authority and Obedience. As we have seen in Chapter 33, Section A and F, and Chapter 40, Section C and F, government implies authority over other persons who are essentially free and equal. Consequently, 1. Political authority is received from God, since no man has the intrinsic power to give himself authority over others. 2. No ruler can enslave those who are ruled. It is in agreement with the natural law that the latter should accept the rulers freely. 3. Authority, however, does not come from the people, but from God. It is a participation in God's government of the universe and of men. 4. Whoever governs, therefore, does it by sharing in God's providence. See Chapter 24, Section G. And thus, he has no absolute power and is subject to the natural law. 5. Obedience is strictly due to political authority as long as this authority is just, i.e., governs according to the natural law. As a lesser evil, however, it is sometimes better to obey an unjust government, but what should never be done is to obey against the law of God. The task of the ruler is to communicate the good by ensuring the proper functioning of all the parts and ordaining them all towards their end, while respecting their differences. As the ruler has to command and to judge, he needs the virtues of prudence and justice above all. The obedience of those who are governed is an act of freedom. The dignity of man is that he directs himself by himself, and an act of personal responsibility. To the extent that man is free, he wants to obey, i.e., he knows what he is doing. For this he has to see the ordination of the law to the common good. The aim of education, at home, in school, and in society at large, is to make man aware of this responsibility and of this freedom, by making him see the ordination of all things to the common good, i.e., to God, and the part he has to play personally in the service of the common good. Section C, Positive Law. The positive law, laws made by men in authority for the government of society, is the basic instrument of government for the direction of society towards the common good. There should be stable laws, because if civil ordering were to be left to the decisions of private individuals or to the rulers themselves, it would easily be corrupted by might is right. Since the purpose of the laws is to direct men to the common good, they must facilitate the practice of virtue and discourage vice. This is why the juridical order, i.e., the accepted framework of clearly recognized and stipulated duties and rights, is profoundly good. For all these reasons, there must be an ordering of reason towards the common good. See St. Thomas's definition in Chapter 38, Section A, instead of the arbitrary will of someone. The juridical order itself is good. It is the persons that may be bad or good. If the person is good, he fulfills the law without effort, spontaneously. Otherwise, he fulfills it out of fear of the penalty. The positive law depends on the natural law and derives all its binding force from it, since it directs man to the common good, which is God. If it goes against the natural law, it becomes violence. It is no longer law and has to be resisted. See Chapter 40, Section F. From the content of the natural law, see Chapter 38, Section C and D, we can glean what is contrary to it, all that goes against the dignity of human life and its ordination to God. The positive law is thus a participation in the natural law made by free persons, but the natural law is necessarily wider than the positive. since the latter cannot legislate on the internal acts of man directly. No human authority can penetrate the interior life of man. And besides, the changing and multiple circumstances of society give rise to many different applications of the natural law. Every man has to realize that social justice and love, natural law, must necessarily go beyond strictly legal justice, positive law.